You are now tuned in to DAR Sports Media. It's Hoopin' and Hollerin', your middle of the week NBA summary. Our man, True, is in transit from one plane of existence to another, from one dimension to another. We'll be hearing from him later on this week, I'm sure. For right now, we're running the three-man weave with Taze Takes LLC and our coach, the point guard, old Jeff Axel. You guys are running down the happenings in the NBA, man. Things are narrowing down. The season is heating up. We're almost to the good stuff. What do you got for us?
What's up? What's happening? It's the one and only Jeff Axel, Bad Macaroni, third leg on me. Feeling good, feeling great. We're just going to start off with the Western Conference, man. And, of course, number one, the Denver Nuggets. 51-21, Nikola Jokic. He's got a chance to win MVP. Shea has been playing as well recently, so still a chance for Jokic to be a three-time MVP. Just excellent player. Triple-double numbers, dominant. Nobody can stop him. Best player in the league right now. Not much else to say. I mean, him and Jamal Murray have one of the best two-man games in the league. Shout out to them. Mike Porter Jr. has been very efficient this season. Aaron Gordon playing his role, defending and attacking the basket very strongly. Tay, what do you feel about the Nuggets? You know, they've been kind of under radar, but they're still number one with 10 games to go.
Yeah, the Nuggets been taking a soul show this season. They haven't, you know, they haven't been slacking like the Miami Heat do in the regular season, but they've been taking it slow. Like this, they could have the same record as the Celtics, honestly. If they took every game serious, they could be a 60-win team too. They easily could have been. I think that's pretty much out of the question now. But they just so slow short through the season. You know, they did it once. They got the same team pretty much, minus Bruce Brown. You know, I guess they feel like, you know, let's slow short through the season, take it easy, get to the playoffs, and go back to back. I mean, they're a confident team, great team. I got the best player in the league. And he's the best player by a lot. Like, there hasn't been a gap from one to two in a while. Like, Jokic is really the best player by far. And he just proves it every night. You know, Nuggets heated up after the All-Star break. Like, what we expected? I don't think anybody expected him to be 65-9. I think we all knew they were going to heat up. I mean, that was obvious, you know. So, yeah, the Nuggets have been hot. 9-1 in the last 10. You know, I don't think anyone wants to match up with them. That's the team everyone's afraid of in the West right now. I would be too.
That's a fact. And shout out to their young players, Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, stepping up. Been very impressive. Reggie Jackson's been looking pretty good off the bench this year. He's had some good moments. So they have a strong chance, man. Like you said, nobody wants to play them boys. Now, 2 seed. Shout out to the OKC Thunder at 49-21, and they're up 15 on the Pelicans as we speak right now at the half. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, we've mentioned before on this podcast, mentioned what Chet Holmgren does. They got a lot of depth. Shout out to Jalen J. Dub Williams. Shout out to Lou Dort. They're a young team. A lot of people feel like the veteran teams want to match up with them, but I feel like this team in particular, they're very well coached. They play with great energy. I don't think they're scared of anybody. So don't take them lightly just because they're quote-unquote young. Tay, how do you feel about the OKC Thunder?
It's a different kind of young team. Like, maybe I'm reaching here, but reminds me of the KD, Russ, and Harden Thunder team back then. Like, I think this team matches up with them pretty well. Like, this is a really good Thunder team. Like, I don't care how young they are. Chet doesn't look like a rookie. Shea look like he's been doing this. Like, you know, they're advanced, you know? I see why people want to match up with them because of experience, but sometimes if you're good, you're good. You know, like that, your experience could sometimes not put you over, you know, other teams. So yeah, I think the Thunder are pretty good. I think the Thunder should get pretty far in the playoffs. Playing one of the play-in teams.
I think too, you know, they're young, but they're old young.
Yeah. Like,
you know, Chet is obviously in his quote unquote rookie season, even though he's been in the NBA a year. That's such an NBA-ism. It bugs me. But, you know, they're young chronologically, but they've played a lot of games and a lot of games together. So I wouldn't sleep on them just because of the age. You know, SGA, like, they're a top two seed, and SGA is an MVP candidate, MVP favorite, if you ask us, for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, that isn't stopping them from whooping everyone's ass in the regular season. It isn't stopping SGA from shredding everybody and becoming a number one seed. So, and becoming a number one MVP candidate. So they might be young age numbers, but they've played a lot of great basketball and a lot of great basketball together. So I don't think that's a reason to discount them at all.
Yeah, the only issue, and me and Tay have talked about this, they're 27th in the NBA in rebounding. And in the playoffs, you need to rebound better. The game's going to slow down. That's the only thing that's concerning. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to go to the 3 seed. Shout out to the Minnesota Timberwolves. A lot of people thought their run was a little bit flukish, but they're 49-22. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Even though Karl Anthony Towns has been out with the injury, Anthony Edwards has stepped up. Naz Reid has stepped up. They just have a really, really good team. Shout out to Coach Finch for improving every single season that he's in Minnesota. They play excellent defense, easily one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Great perimeter defense, great athleticism on the wings. Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards and Nikhil Alexander-Walker are all pests on the defensive end. Kyle Anderson, he plays tough defense. And then you have Rudy Gobert, who's an excellent interior defender. Like, he's flawed offensively, but you can't take away the intimidation and the shots he contests. You can't take that away from him. So, Minnesota Timberwolves, they look great. How you feel about the Wolves? I know you've been huge on Ant-Man for a while, Tay.
Yeah. Think the Wolves, they're still staying afloat despite the cat injury, which is good. You know, it's good they can still play winning basketball. It makes me feel better about them going into the playoffs. You know, they got one of the best perimeter defenders, the LeBron stopper, the KD stopper, the Steph stopper, the Kawhi stopper, Jaden McDaniels.
Putting a lot of gas on Jaden McDaniels, brother.
I mean,
look at his matches. Like, you got the numbers to back that up, brother?
Yes, I do, actually. I do. Especially against KD. He's the KD stopper. But, yeah, you know, they got the perimeter defense. They got the defensive player of the year in the paint. One thing that concerns me about them is their fourth quarter offense. They kind of stall at times. They come down the court, passing, take a bad shot. You know, they do have to clean that up. You know, it's panic meter. It's mild right now. It's definitely a concern, though. Fourth quarter, that's where you win games. That's definitely where you win games in the fourth quarter. Like, especially they do have to clean that up. Yeah, especially in the play. You got to clean that up. But, yeah, like, I like their depth. I like how Naz Reid has stepped up. I mean, that's some people's sixth man. You know, they got a great team. That Rudy Gobert trade started to pay off for them. Like, I people were saying the Jazz won, but I don't know about that now. You know, they traded for a defensive player of the year. You know, and it's been working, so I definitely like the Timberwolves chances in the playoffs, for sure, especially match. It's matchup dependent, though. Definitely matchup dependent, because Rudy Gobert can be played off the court against certain teams. So,
I understand that. Eric, you got any thoughts on the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I'm just excited for them that, you know, people kind of wrote them off after the cat injury, and they have continued to surge, and Anthony Edwards has only continued to elevate his level of play and his level of, you know, being a leader for this team. So I'm pumped for them and pumped for them to continue the run.
The fact that they have 49 wins is remarkable. I feel like KG in his MVP season, if I'm not mistaken, they had about maybe 47, maybe 51. It was something.
This team was better than them, though. Like,
no, I'm just saying, like, the Wolves historically, I don't think they've reached 50 wins a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not true. Mistaken.
They ain't been in the playoffs in my lifetime, honestly. Except, like, 2 years. I don't really remember them in the playoffs much.
Nah, like, for your lifetime, since you're 22.
Yeah, I don't remember them in the playoffs that much.
I'm going to say, like, when Jimmy Butler was there.
That one time, and they didn't do anything. I don't really remember them doing anything, like going and then doing anything. I don't remember them winning a playoff series, honestly.
Yeah, you was 2 years old when KG won MVP and they got to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, so, that's, yeah.
Man, that's deep. So yeah, shout out to the Wolves for playing excellent ball this season. One of their best seasons in franchise history. And I think they deserve more credit for that.
Yep.
Like, they've been flying under the radar. Now we're going to go to the fourth seed. Struggling a little bit tonight, but they've been playing excellent ball over the last 10 games. The New Orleans Pelicans at 44-27. Zion Williamson playing well. Herb Jones playing elite on both ends. Trey Murphy playing very well. Brandon Ingram, hopefully he's back for the playoffs. That determines everything as far as the series against the Clippers. And we're going to discuss that in a little bit. But how do you feel about the Pelicans? Shout out to Zion for being healthy this season.
Yeah, that's another thing. Zion, glad he's been there for his team this year. You know, he's the guy that makes everything run. No Zion, no playoffs. Like that's just what it is. So he's been there for him. He's been playing great basketball. They've been playing good without Brandon Ingram. And you know, you win some, you lose some. Like today, they're gonna lose against the Thunder, which is okay. You know, Thunder are the better team, so nothing really worry about right now. You know, you might see them in the playoffs later on, but I think they need to keep winning, get that home court advantage over the Clippers. They're tied right now. They're gonna drop to five, but I think 4 and 5 are pretty much locked in. Keep fighting for that fourth. Like the Clippers and Pelicans need to pretty much fight for that fourth seed. That's they got the same record. That's home court advantage. That could completely change the series right there. Clippers crowd isn't all that. Like I wouldn't. That's Lakers territory right there. But
yes.
I know the Pelicans want to have game one and game two at home. That's gonna make the series a lot easier. You know, to get ahead. To beat the Clippers, you know, in the playoffs. So, yeah, Pelicans been playing pretty good basketball. It's been a long time coming. I mean, we've been waiting for this Pelicans team to finally bring it together, and it's the year they finally did it.
I'm just intrigued to see if Zion's still able to attack the basket and finish in the playoffs. Sometimes teams make adjustments, and I want to see, like, if he's still able to do that or if anybody's going to be able to force him out of the paint, which hasn't been done so far. And he's going to have to play more than – he usually plays about 30 or 31 minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, that's going to be going up. So I want to see if he's able to play 40 minutes at a high level.
I guess the Clippers don't have the personnel to stop. Like, I don't think they don't got the guys to keep him out the paint. You know, like, I don't think a lot of teams really do. I would say that's more – yeah, I don't think any teams have the personnel to do that. You need someone.
I think he's still going to eat. I think he's going to eat in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
I can't see a team doing that. Because to stop him, you need someone bigger than him, someone the same size as him, or taller, and fast enough to keep up. Because you're going to have to guard him from start to finish. So I don't think there's any. The Clippers definitely don't have the personnel for that. I honestly don't think so. Like, Zion is a very efficient basketball player. Because he lives around the rim. The Clippers don't have anything for that, so I think he'll do just fine.
You don't think Kawhi's going to take that challenge?
No, because Kawhi been stopped guarding the best player on the team. His offensive load is just so – it's just so much. Like, they're going to go to him every play on offense. They're going to expect him to score 35 on offense. Kawhi's not going to guard Zion until the fourth quarter, I say. Like, first through third, no. Zion's going to get his.
So, speaking of the Clippers, you said Kawhi got to take 35. Them boys is 44-27, 4-6 in their last 10, 10-11 in their last 21. Russell Westbrook just came back yesterday, but they traded for James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
So, this whole Kawhi has to carry low. That shouldn't be the case. They bought in Harden for that reason. He was a 2010 guy last year.
Yeah, we know what James Harden does. We know what Paul George can do. Like, we know the type of guys. I don't want to say it. We know the type of guys they got.
They're playoff droppers.
Yeah.
They're playoff droppers.
We know what they got. Kawhi's not a playoff dropper. So, we automatically, when we look at the Clippers, we automatically expect Kawhi to be here. And then Paul George, James Harden, just do whatever. Like you expect the Clippers to be carried by Kawhi, pretty much, because we don't know what Paul George will get. We know James Harden is gonna drop, so it's gonna be the Kawhi show. It's gonna have to be the Kawhi show. Like, yeah, they got the names, they got the big names, but they haven't done it, you know?
I mean, Westbrook played very well in the playoffs against Phoenix last year. So
he did, but he's in a lesser role now. You know, like he's in a less, I don't even, like, maybe I'm crazy. He's not even the best player on the bench anymore.
But like, he's Norman Powell over him.
Mm-hmm. Norman Powell, I mean, they're gonna go to him coming off the bench. They're gonna expect him to score like 15. Like that when James Harden has his 2-for-15 game and he needs something, it's gonna be Norman Powell. They're gonna need like a boost for Norman Powell, you know. Like, because he could just score from all three levels. Like, Russell Westbrook can't do that. You know, it's kind of easier to guard Russell Westbrook when it comes to that. So, yeah, I mean, they're Kawhi dependent. Like, they need Kawhi to absolutely carry them to even get to round two. So,
I don't know. I just hear concerning things considering it's 10 games left in the season. Like, James Harden saying in the media they don't have any identity.
They don't.
It's Ty Lue was like, we got an identity. We soft right now.
Like, what's the identity?
Said right before the playoffs.
Yeah, because identity's not defense anymore. They're no longer that defensive team they were. And, I mean, is it offense? I guess.
Nah, that offense clunky. They 10 and 11 they last 21.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they don't have identity. James Harden ain't say nothing wrong. He knows. He knows they suck, and he's a part of it. So.
It's not a good look for his legacy. Like, if they was to go down in an early round, like they trade, I don't know how many picks they traded in this one, but I know as far as the PG trade from a couple years ago, we mentioned it before, traded all their draft picks until 2027 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's likely going to be MVP in OKC. OKC might mess around and get to the finals before the Clippers.
And that's, you know what's crazy about that? Shai is the best player out of everybody on the Clippers. Just really think about that. Mm-hmm. They traded him away for Paul George, but he's better than everybody on the Clippers right now. That's just crazy to think of. Like, you can say Kawhi, you can give Kawhi his respect, but everyone else, no. Shai is better than everybody else on the Clippers. So,
all them boys is 32 and older too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they lose in the first round, they're gonna have to make business decisions. Like, they're gonna have to trade and recoup some picks back.
That's true.
It's going on since 2019. Like, that's 5 years. Like, when is enough enough? Like, y'all only got one Western Conference Finals. No, two Western Conference Finals appearances. Or was it one? No, it was one. I'm tripping. Only against Phoenix. Their only Conference Finals appearance in their history.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's looking dark. So, sixth seed. Going to touch on them briefly before we slide over. Sacramento Kings, 42-29. Domantas Sabonis, All-NBA player, triple-double machine, just excellent inside and out. Like, bounced back from a tough series against Golden State last year. It's elevated his game. De'Aaron Fox playing at a high level. Malik Monk, Keegan Murray. They just have good depth. Like, how do you feel about the Kings?
The Kings are interesting. I think they're relying on Domas. If Domas isn't, if he's not shooting the mid-range jumper, if he's getting out-rebounded by people he shouldn't be getting out-rebounded by, they're done. But yes, they need him to play his best game. They need to take this momentum, take this regular season momentum, do this in the playoffs, and they got a series. But if Domas is scared to shoot the mid-range, if he standing there, you know, just looking for a pass, making his team easier to guard, they're gonna have trouble and they're gonna lose, just like how they lost to the Warriors. They played a great series last year and all that, but when it came down to it, Sabonis just—he was the reason, you know. But the Kings are pretty good. They need Kevin Herter to hit shots. They need Keegan Murray to hit shots. Like, that's just their offense. Their offense is relying on their wings hitting threes, De'Aaron Fox getting his off the handoff, and he's Sabonis to just be him, you know, just.
Keon Ellis has been a good development for them recently,
too. He has been, too. Yeah.
So, shout out to Mike Brown. Getting in, like, if the playoffs were to start today, getting the Kings to back-to-back playoff appearances after a 16-year drought, like, it's very, very impressive for him. Like, he should be elevated in coaching talk ranks. He learned a lot from Golden State. Like, a lot of people felt he was LeBron-dependent, but after what he did in Sacramento, changing their culture completely, You can't say that anymore. What do you think about what's going on with Sacramento, Eric?
So old home team from that area, one of the most passionate fan bases in the league. If they get in situations where they can, you know, that's always going to play a role in a series, because that home crowd, that home situation is going to be insane. Tay hit the nail on the head. Kind of more of a one-man team this year. They live and die by him. Going to need De'Aaron Fox to step up and be and play like the superstar that he played like last year, if they're going to have a chance of advancing. But the talent is still similar, and that home field advantage is still there. So if that can happen, they can get rolling in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, I'm really happy for them. Like you said, that fan base deserves it. They stayed down during almost two decades of horrible play, bad decisions. They almost
moved them out of town. I remember that.
Yeah, yep. They almost moved to Seattle. Yeah. So shout out to Sacramento for real. I hope they do make the playoffs. I hope they stay at the sixth seed. They got a similar record to the Dallas Mavericks at 42-29. Luka, 34-10-9. Just ridiculously great generational player. I understand the defense is bad, but man, what he's doing is just unbelievable. Kyrie's playing at a high level. Daniel Gafford was a great pickup, as we mentioned before. PJ Washington and Tim Hardaway Jr. are X-Factors. We'll see what they do. We'll see what Maxi Kleber does. And their role players, like, guys can step up and have moments. What do you think about the Mavs, Tay?
MVP. MVP.
Yeah. Mavs got a top three player in the NBA on their team.
They
got Luka. Every time you got a team with Luka, can't count them out at all. Like, whoever they match up with in the playoffs, they can catch them and beat them in the series. Like,
yeah,
if they play the Thunder today, I don't know. I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it, but just know.
The Kyrie thing has worked out. He has boogied down there and has had his head on straight.
Yeah.
Those two guys, if they heat up, he's right. Mm-hmm. They can hang with anybody and any night.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because the rest of the team is kind of cheeks. But but those two players get hot, anything could happen.
I like Dirk Lively too. Like, he's had a pretty good rookie season, so I'm not gonna like discount him. My only thing with Kyrie, and I've mentioned this before, post 2016, his playoff numbers have been horrible.
He ain't had a playoffs with Luka yet, though.
Yeah, that's true. But he's been shooting under 40% from the field in multiple series. So for somebody that's very as skilled as he is, he's hit big shots. He just has not played well in these past few playoff series. When he was on the Nets, he didn't really have great series. When he was with the Celtics, he had bad series. So I need to see him elevate his game. But like Tay said, he hasn't had a playoff one with Luka. And he does seem rejuvenated. I seen him catch an oop a couple days ago. I was like, oh, this man happy to be down there. It just seemed like he just wants to hoop somewhere. Small market might be better for him. Like, you don't got to deal with the media pressure. And he just doesn't like to deal with the media. Dallas, he can just hoop. Media doesn't harass him. He seems happy. So that's good for him. But it's the Lucas show. Everything's going to depend on him. I think Kyrie will play well. He has to play better than sub 40%, though. That's not acceptable here. Now to the eighth seed, the Phoenix Suns, 42-30. They ate a horrendous loss to the Spurs without Wemby last night. Kevin Durant hasn't played as well recently. Booker and Beal, that whole situation hasn't worked out. Didn't Beal go out last night with an injury? It was even him and Nurkic. Yeah.
Somebody got hurt.
Nurkic did. He's a great rebounder, but he has flaws. Like,
you can play him off the court.
Yeah, you can play him off the court to pick and roll. It's just like, as far as the lack of point guard play, it's so evident for whatever reason they just haven't addressed it. Like, he's gonna sign IT. They're up 29 and play everybody else but him. You won't play 13 active players except for him. That's insane. Like, don't even bring him in. Like, why waste this man's time? But the lack of point guard play is evident. They're slipping and sliding. And at this point, they might not make the playoffs. And that would be one of the biggest disappointments in NBA history. If a team with multiple 30-point scores, a former MVP, just misses the playoffs completely. Like, Frank Vogel might get fired for that. How are we feeling about Phoenix, T?
My prediction could come true. I mean, the playoffs aren't looking like a lot for them. You know, they've been losing games. They haven't been the same team they were. Now, I will say this. They have some good lineups they can throw out. They're Nurkic list lineups, but they do have some lineups that are really good compared to others that play certain centers up the court, like the Clippers. They can do that with the Clippers, the Timberwolves. They have small ball lineups that could hurt other teams. So that's a plus. That's really what they have over other teams. But to keep it short and simple, their fourth quarter offense sucks. One of the worst fourth quarter teams in the league.
They are the worst.
Yeah. Kind of like what I was saying. When you got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal on your team, you should not be the worst in anything. It's just, you figure it out. Like when they were talking about trades before they brought in Bradley Beal, they knew they wouldn't have the role players. They knew somebody's gonna have to be the playmaker. Somebody's gonna have to get more boards. Somebody's gonna have to do this. You know, you gotta pick up the slack. I guess they're not doing it. Like, there's no way you got Kevin Durant on your team, and you're the worst fourth quarter team in the league. Doesn't make any sense. Like, they just
no point guard.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah, they have no point guard. They just got so many flaws. They didn't address point guard. They traded for Royce O'Neal instead of getting a point guard. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So, like, they want to lose, obviously. So they're gonna lose.
Yeah, as of right now, the way these other teams is playing, I'm like, they can get popped in the play-in as of right now.
Yeah.
Real briefly, L.A. Lakers, 39-32, probably going to stay at the 9 seed. Yeah. I don't doubt LeBron, but 8-9-10 is Phoenix, L.A., and the Warriors. We mentioned before, it's a possibility two out of these three teams could potentially no Steph or Bron in the playoffs, no Steph, Bron, or KD in the playoffs. That's a strong possibility. And you got the Rockets at 36-35. They half game back of the Warriors. The Warriors are winning today, so they'll jump a full game ahead of them for now. They match up against each other in like a couple games.
Yeah.
So that's going to be major right there. It'll be crazy. Eric, what do you think about if the playoffs didn't have Steph, KD, or LeBron?
I think we better get fucking ready. Get used to it. Honestly, we've had all these guys far in excess of what we could generally expect. This is way new, where you got these superstars in at this age making these deep of playoff runs, where they're still the primary piece of their squad. You know what I'm saying? Like, this didn't really happen in the 90s. It didn't really happen with the Kobe era. You got these guys 36 37 38 39. How old is LeBron? LeBron's 39, right?
39.
Yeah, guys that old who, you know, we've had guys, they've been in the playoffs, but they've been almost mascots of these squads, like, you know, there for moral support or there for, you know, that veteran presence of a great player who knows how to do the right things, provide leadership. These guys are still primary scoring options for their teams and still pulling it off and still putting up 25, 26 a game. What's LeBron at this year? 26, 27 a game still. Yeah. It's insane. So, what do I think of those guys not being in the playoffs? We better get ready for it and get mentally adjusted to it, because we're on borrowed time as it is. You never used to see this. So we should be lucky to have what we got while we have it, because the day has been past coming where this era of these guys is going to move on. But as begrudgingly as I have to kind of agree with Tay, the league is more ready than it ever has been to replace these guys. I'm not going to fully agree and say this is the most talented the league's ever been, but like, you remember when Jordan left, it was pretty tough as to where, like, who was this next, who's going to fill in this next group.
Yeah.
And then after Shaq and Kobe left, same thing. Who is going to be the people who are going to step up and fulfill this group? Now we have guys who are ready to go, who are right up there with him. We have SGA. We have Jokic. We have, you know, numerous others who are ready to take over that mantle and be the new core of stars of the league. So I think it's going to be fine. They will be missed. I think we should be grateful for how long that we've had them, way past the prime of so many other, you know, years of stars.
Yeah, we're definitely in the changing of the guard. Bron got drafted in 03, KD in 07, Steph in 09. They're legends, faces of this era, straight up. But, you know, these young boys ready to get them up out the paint. Houston banging on that door. Just want to cover them briefly. They won 9 straight. Şengün went out, and I thought it was over, to be honest with you. But Jalen Green, he's averaging 29 a game over his last 12, just playing excellent ball. So if they can get a play-in spot, they're hot at the right time. Like, Ime Udoka's done a great job there. I can't even take that from him. Just shout out to the Rockets. They might get either the Lakers
against or the all Warriors. Odds.
Yeah, for real. For real, though.
Throw Udoka in one of the in one of the strip club capitals of the country. And that man is succeeding. Maybe that's, you know, what it's like Bane with the venom. You know, he has to be, the more in contact he is with the things that make him evil, the stronger he gets. Maybe that's it. Houston or Atlanta, that would have been the fucking worst.
Y'all already know he in the clubs. I already know that.
Yeah.
But they winning, though, so he proved it, because Houston was an AAU team these past couple years. So for him to have them in playoff contention in one season, that just shows he's a great coach. So shout out to them. Going to slide over to the Eastern Conference now. Celtics at 57-15, 10.5 games ahead of the Bucks. Just going to touch on them briefly. Had a nasty game against the Hawks last night. I can't even lie.
I was blowing shocked. I saw those memes. I was like, whoa.
Took our foot off the gas, man. Like, no Derek White and Jrue Holiday. We had 4
little wake-up call against. Right before the playoffs. That's all right. Hey,
sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth. Don't be too cocky, man. I seen dudes laughing on the bench and shit. So, shout out to the Hawks for playing well. Like, they earned that comeback. Like, they played tough. So, I ain't got nothing bad to say about them. We'll discuss them in a little bit. They're one of the play-in teams. But, yeah, man, Celtics is winning by an average of 12 points per game. Strong defense, strong offense, good balance. Jason Tatum averaging 28. Jaylen Brown averaging 23. Porzingis averaging 19. Derek White having a career season, averaging 16. Our team leader in blocks. Just a great player. Jrue Holiday, waiting for him to come back. Peyton Pritchard stepped up, averaging 18 a game over his last 6. Sam Hauser's been averaging about 15 over his last 4 games. So our bench was considered weak. They've been playing better recently. What do you feel about the Celtics? We'll touch on them briefly. What do you think about them, Tay?
We got the 1 seed locked up for a reason. Pretty much my only issue with the Celtics is just their fourth quarter, you know, their fourth quarter play. The Celtics, for the rest of their games, they need to wish and pray that they're in close game just to get more practice with that. You know, like, these games are pointless, honestly. Like, at this point, I already have the 1 seed. They should pretty much just hope for close games for the rest of the season. Get some more practice in. Have some more. Just get reps, you know. Just get some more clutch reps in. That's my only thing with them. Just, they get some more close games. You know, that'd be good for them. Going
too much walking the ball up.
Yeah, like, just more clutch reps. That's all they need. That's all you need. So, you know, as the season gets, like, you know, shorter and shorter, just, like, you know, get some clutch reps. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying throw the game, make it close, but you should kind of hope for a closer game. So it would make you even better, you know.
Yeah, play OKC, the Bucks.
Yes, like, you know, and those games should be close. And that's going to really show you, like, you know, how it's going to go, stuff like that. That's their only issue to me. So, just when they play the better teams, you know, close the game out the right way.
Yeah, it's too much walking the ball up, man. Like, the pace slows down. settled for too many threes, not enough post-up opportunities, not enough off-ball movement, like in the times where things get stagnant. So we do have to improve on that. Eric, what do you think about the Celtics before we move on to the Bucks?
It's become such a cliche and kind of redundant conversation at this point. Same stuff that Tay was talking about, same stuff that you're talking about, walking the ball up, need more fourth quarter when the pressure's on. Like, how many years are we going to do this where we need to have them see, when are they going to develop that killer instinct when they go out there? Like, they should go out and sweep whoever they play first round. Like, we, you know, because that's what it was last year. It was like they were so lackadaisical and let teams hang around and would only turn it on sometimes. And it's like, bro, this is the playoffs. This is, you know, what year are we in for Jason Tatum? And we all thought it was going to be on the next year after he showed up, you know, because they overachieved so much. And here we are all these years later, still waiting for this team, for this group to develop a killer instinct and to start stepping on necks and playing. Because that, right, I think we all agree. We're all, you know, admire Kobe, all Jordan. That's the last ingredient. Is you need to be able to go out there and rip someone's throat out in these playoffs. And we're still waiting to see if this group can develop that. So I hope they do, because, you know, I'd like to see a team like that get back to the top.
Yeah. Like,
and live up to the tradition and the annals of that franchise. Yeah. Of that brand.
Like, remember the LeBron Miami Heat, remember when they used to get the one seed and they used to play the Bobcats, Hornets? They used to just step on them 4-0, get them. That's what y'all need to do. Y'all, yes, play the Bulls, walk over them, carry momentum, get 10 days of rest for round two. Y'all need to, like, steamroll whoever y'all playing around.
This year's team has had more of a killer instinct, though.
I hope so.
Yeah.
The past seasons, it's been the difference with Derek White. He has a better ability of driving to the basket and shooting than Marcus Smart does. I think that's going to make the difference this season. And I think Porzingis in the post gives us more front court scoring than Al Horford and Rob Williams did. So I think that's going to make the difference.
You would hope that Porzingis would bring that extra edge, because that's a dude who's, you know, for so many years been so talented and ain't won a fucking thing, and been on a bunch of teams that suck ass. Like, this is his big shot. So you would think he'd be out there ready to kill and ready to spread that around the rest of the team. I would hope.
Yeah, like, it's all about execution. I think they'll be fine, though. Tatum has shown the ability to step up in the playoffs. He had a 51-point game in an elimination game, 46 against Giannis when they were down 3-2. So he's had big moments before. I'm just not going to act like he never has played well. It just has to be more consistent if he wants to be the player that he says he wants to be. He says he feels like he's the best in the league. You have to show and prove that this season. There's no excuse. He said that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's Jokic. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you feel that way, you have to execute and show that. But
it's all the same stuff. It's the killer instinct. We got to stop, you know, same. They got to play more discipline. They got to stop settling for bad shots, settling to taking hard shots. Like, it's the same shit we say every year. Most talented roster, just don't bring the killer instinct, take bad shots, make shots harder than they're supposed to be. Is this going to be the year that they fix it? If it is, then there's nobody standing in their way in the East, but I don't know. They go up against a generational defender in the New York Knicks. He's going to help them, play into their worst habits. So we'll see.
But yeah, shout out to the Bucks. They've been playing better recently. I give them credit. I'm not a fan of how Doc Rivers snaked Adrian Griffin, but they are 46-25, 6-4 in their last 10. Giannis playing exceptional basketball under the radar. Dame Lillard, they still don't have it all the way together yet, but they are improving their two-man game. Bobby Portis playing at a high level. Brooke Lopez, I think he'll do his thing in the playoffs, but again, if they match up with the Celtics, we play him off the court. So Pat Bev seems to have brought some good energy to the bench. He fits in with what Portis and Boss Man 99 Crowder does. How you feel about the bus, eh?
Letterboxd. You know, Letterboxd. You know, of course they got Giannis, Dame, his first time being a second option. They got Bobby Portis, like you said, playing great basketball. They're gonna need him in the playoffs if Brook Lopez gets played off the court, which is a possibility, especially against Boston. Yeah, they're a solid team. Their defense isn't good, which you really need that to get defense to win the championship. You need a good defense. Like, I can't remember the last team to win the finals with no defense, 2016 Cavs. It's been a long time since then. You know, you need a good defense to win, to succeed in the playoffs, and they don't have that. Offense is pretty good, but you gotta have it both ways in the playoffs. Like, you'll get exposed. All your deficiencies come out in the playoffs. Like, teams know exactly what you can't do. They know what this player can't shoot. This guy doesn't like his left hand, and they exploit that. So the Bucks, they don't have the personnel. They just don't have the personnel. Like, this is how the GM built the team this year. They don't have the personnel, so I don't see championship aspirations for this team.
So now we're going to go to the third seed. Cleveland Cavs been kind of slipping recently, man. They're only a half game ahead of the Knicks. Knicks probably can take that from the way things are trending. Cavs are 4-6 in their last 10. I know Mobley's been out. The Mitchell and Garland thing just isn't working, unfortunately. When Mitchell was out, Garland was cooking. It's just unfortunate that thing doesn't work. They're both ball dominant. They can't. They're both undersized. I'm a little concerned about how the Cavs have been playing recently. What do you think about the Cavs, Tay?
Cleveland Cavaliers have been improved from last year for sure. But again, they're still missing that small forward. Isaac Okoro's been playing better, but I'm curious to see them in the playoffs this season, because last season when they played the Knicks, we made Isaac Okoro hit jump shots. Like, we double teamed Donovan Mitchell, make someone else beat us. You know, that's pretty much how you deal with the team like that. So they're a good team. They're a solid team. They have definitely been slipping. I don't know. I think they could keep the three seed, honestly. Like, yeah, it's up for grabs, but it's not really changing anything. Like, they can have it, honestly. You know, they were a four seed last year. I don't think their home crowd is, like, it's making a difference anyway, you know. So the Cavs are the Cavs. Like, no one's scared of the Cavs, pretty much, you know.
That's the vibe I get, too. So the Knicks at 43-28. Shout out to Dante DiVincenzo with 11 three-pointers last night. I should have took him in my parlay. I took Brunson instead, but Jalen Brunson, he's an All-NBA player. OG, we'll see if him and Randall come back for the playoffs. We'll see how that goes. Hartenstein, he's been playing at a great level since Mitchell Robinson went out, so shout out to Isaiah Hartenstein. I'll let you talk about the Knicks real quick, and then we'll move on to the Magic.
You can talk about the Magic by yourself. yeah. you know, we got Jalen Brunson, one of the best point guards in the NBA, not just the East, in the NBA. We got Dante DiVincenzo, one of the best three-point shooters in the league. We got the best defender of my generation, OG Anunoby, the Tatum stopper, the Giannis stopper, the Donovan Mitchell stopper. I can keep going. The KD stopper, the LeBron stopper. Never seen a guy like him before. Hope he comes back. You know, get your rest. We'll get the 50 wins. We'll lock the four seed in. We'll beat up the Magic. You know, hopefully everybody comes back healthy. You know, I'm loving the team this year. If we're healthy, the Knicks are very dangerous. The Knicks are, like, remember I said that 100% healthy. The Knicks are very dangerous. Ever since that OG trade, that was the best trade I've ever seen in my life. Like, man. Shit, that just changed everything. It just changed everything about the team.
Changed the fabric of the NBA.
This is like complete foolishness. Now I'm gonna get back in reality. Talk about the Orlando Magic real quick. Shout out to Jamal Murray. Jamal Mosley, coach of the year candidate. He's probably gonna lose out to OKC's coach. But the Magic of 42-29. Fifth seed, led by Paolo Banchero with 23 points, 7 boards, 5 assists per game. And Franz Wagner, 20 points and 5 rebounds per game. Excellent for a second and third year player to lead their team to a 5 seed. That's very impressive. Jonathan Isaac's been healthy. He's one of the better wing defenders in the league. Everyone gossips about it. Don't. All right. Then you got Jalen Suggs been playing defense at a high level. And then you have the scoring punch of Cole Anthony off the bench. So Orlando has a lot of young talent. They've been very impressive. They're ahead of the curve already. To be led by a second and third year player and the length they have with Wendell Carter Jr. as interior defender, Orlando just looks very, very good. I don't believe they beat the Knicks in the playoff series, but just shout out to Orlando Magic for a great season so far. Like, even if they don't get out the first round, this is a very successful season for that team.
That wasn't the goal, wasn't to get to the championship. The goal was, I would say their goal was to play, and they are very, they're overachieving. Like, you know, I would be very happy all around, fans, coaches, players. Like, this wasn't even a goal. They went beyond that. So anyone in a Magic organization should just be very happy for what they've been doing.
Absolutely. Shout out to Indiana Pacers as a 6 seed, 41-32. Over the last 6 games, Pascal Siakam's been averaging 27-10 on 57% from the field. So the trade is paying off. They're playing at a high level. They've picked up a couple good road wins on the West against Golden State and the Clippers. They took an L to the Lakers, but they only lost by a couple points. Still playing in the fast-paced offense. I'm not sure how that translates into the playoffs, but shout out to them. Shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. I don't know how long Benedict Mathurin's out. He can come back season. To the playoffs. Oh, season? Yeah, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Turner's been playing very well, though. Like, shout out to him, too. He's been in trade rooms for like 5 years straight and blocked that shit out, become their all-time shot block leader in Pacers history this season. So shout out to Miles Turner for having a quality year blocking out the BS. How we feel about the Pacers, Tay?
Again, another team. I feel like before the Siakam trade, they overachieved too. Like, I don't think the goal was to succeed, you know? Like, they definitely overachieved. They're having a solid season. They cooled down from their insanity run before Christmas. You know, when Tyrese Halliburton was hooping, like when he was 25-14, like they've cooled down from that for sure, from that insanity run. But overall, they're having a great season right now. I like the matchup against the Cavs. I think that's a pretty good matchup. I don't know. I might lean Pacers. I don't know. It depends on how Tyrese, you know.
The way Pascal's playing, I don't know, man. He got to play off experience on that team. So he done been to the championship. He got a ring. So, I mean.
Yeah, he does. Like, I definitely do like that matchup a lot. Like, if you look at, like, Cavs Pacers, it looks boring. But if you watch,
it'll be one of the better series. Watch.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the best series. You know, like. Mm-hmm. Always the boring series, always the best series. So
no, it's not boring. It's just the casual fans haven't seen either team.
Not necessarily boring, but just the Pacers, like just casual that fans aspect of
play
it.
Outside the play in. I mean, not to play in the in season tournament,
but they're very fun to watch. You know, mm-hmm. And they'll definitely would. You know, people should definitely tune in, especially this season. Watch the Pacers in the playoffs. It's just young, overachieving teams. Just, you know, playing great basketball. So I'm glad a lot of different teams are making it instead of the same Raptors and Sixers. I'm glad there's new teams in the East now that are making the playoffs. So I'm happy to see the Pacers at the 6th seed right now.
It's a lot of parity. Mm-hmm. And, like, off topic, wow, the Lakers really came back on the Bucks. It's 111-111 overtime. That's very interesting.
Yeah, they need that.
It was down 20, like. That's what I'm saying. Something's up.
The Thunder are losing.
Game and Giannis thing, huh?
Thunder are losing.
Yeah, the Pelicans came back on them by 22. Yeah.
Yep.
I was actually watching that game. We was on the broadcast. So yeah.
Okay.
But real quick, we're going to talk about the last few teams in the East, wrap this thing up. The Heat just lost. They're 39-33. I hope they keep losing. I hope they miss the play-in. They think they're going to recreate last year. Nah.
Yeah. Like, they I hope they lose, too. I don't want to see the Heat in nothing.
Like, no zone defense, all that try hard. Then you got voodoo, like Caleb Martin hitting 50% from three. All that foolishness.
They put both of our teams out last year. They not this year.
Nah, ain't going to be no repeat bubble championship. Ain't going to be no, like, coming down from the play-in spot, beating everybody in front of you. Like, Gabe Vincent ain't walking through the door. Max Strus ain't walking through the door.
They gone.
It's a different team. So, we going to see. They just took an L to Golden State by, like, 20 at home.
They're not as good as last year.
Nah. And the Rozier trade, it ain't working the way, like, a lot of people thought it was.
Yeah.
Them boys 4-6 in their last 10. They better tighten up. Got the Sixers at 39-33. Like, without Embiid, like, shout out to Tyrese Maxey for playing at a high level. Oubre has his moments. Buddy Hield has his moments. Like, his burner's tripping, but...
Oh, you finally saw it.
Campaign, he's playing solid off the bench. They have good role players. They're missing Embiid. I don't think Embiid comes back. This is his second torn meniscus on his left knee, and he's 30 years old. So just save it for next season. Don't even go to the Olympics either. Just, like, rehab over the offseason, man. What do you think about the Sixers, Eric?
I mean, again, you know, a lot of the teams, same repeated stuff. But if we can get, you know, if Maxey really is that dude, if it's really on, could be dangerous. Could be Embiid's help that he's been waiting for all this time. Finally, you know, that could be, because that's what they've tried to get that in there. If Maxey really is like this elevated star that's coming out of nowhere, they could have it right there, homegrown, and they could be very, very dangerous. So we will see.
Yeah, like, shout out to Nick Nurse. Considering he had to deal with the Harden fiasco as soon as he got there, and they're still over 500 with Embiid missing over half the season. Like, he that team still plays hard. So even if they lose in the play-in or something, it's not a failure on him. We had to deal with a lot this season. So shout out to Nick Nurse, showing that he's a great coach. I still don't really understand why Toronto let him go, but it's none of my business.
So, you know, hearkening back as we wrap this up, you know, you guys were talking about the Bucks and their possible collapse and how they're not really built for the playoffs and the lack of defense. I just want to bring up, you know, the fact that wasn't the excuse that they gave for how they did that first coach, that they didn't expect this roster to do so well. Yeah. Isn't that what level of cosmic poetic justice will it be when that comes back to haunt them, when they're deep in a playoff series and like, oh, well, here's that roster that you said you didn't think was so good, and that's why you hired this coach and then fired him when they did do good. Yeah, maybe you were right. Maybe this roster ain't that good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just excited for that poetic justice to play out on them when the playoffs is coming, because that was some fucking bullshit how they did that guy. Fired him for fucking doing too well. What the fuck is crazy. Yeah, that's fucking nuts, man. If DAR Sports Media worked for the Bucks, they'd probably fucking fire us, because we are doing too well these days and racking up the wins. We got picked up by a media group, United Football Media, to provide them with a UFL wraparound show coverage every Monday, noon and 3 o'clock. It's coming out on their YouTube page. Check it out, United Football Media for the UFL. We, of course, got this fine program, Hooping and Hollering, every Wednesday through the NBA season. We are coming down. It's going to get real, real heated as we get into the playoffs. On Fridays, we have Football Friday. Hoping we'll have True back for that show this week. He said we will, so we're looking forward to that. And, of course, me and True and our various friends from all around the wrestling world coming in for Week in Wrestling on the weekends. Check us out there. Always a spirited good time. As you can see, from, and then, you know, Axe and Tay. They got their YouTube basketball show. I out there, the Hoop Panel. I out there somewhere in the world, if you watch out on my Twitter, have a history podcast, if you can believe it. Yes, absolutely. Myself and esteemed author, Dr. Peter Crawford.
Where can I find those?
Same place you can find this fine podcast on Podbean. Just look on my look at my Twitter. It is posted. As you can see, we're getting picked up by other groups. We're killing it on our own channel. We've got these other projects going around. Side stuff. True has the music, DAR music. He's always working on albums, putting out albums. Golly, the world of DAR, it just never stops.
Straight out of Reseda, I'm a believer. You're speaking of elite, better know we truly the leaders. Esteemed with every dream, my king since Let It Ring. It's me and my gang rolling, the greatest you've ever seen. You can keep all of the scrums, the media never runs. The moment that you observe, I wrestle with everyone. Now see what you become, this ain't practical, check the attitude. Started too sweet and with bullets clubbing the avenue. Sabbaticals are temporary in the ring, we naturals. Every play you run, I see a lateral was back at you. Moving shit godly, keep the stupid shit off me. V-trigger, we bigger. It's a super kick party, nigga.